Sonoma County Focus.
Good morning and welcome to Sonoma County Focus. My name is Michelle Marquis, and today we are going to talk about wildfires and how our community can be better prepared and steps that you might be thinking about taking today. Guests today are Ivan O'Neill. He is the co-founder and CEO of Madronas Wildfire Defense. Thank you so much for being here.
Hello.
And our second guest is Carolyn Safford. She is the Program Manager, Permit Sonoma Fire Prevention Division. Thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So today we want to talk about Sonoma County Wildfire Adapted Program, also known as SoCo Adapts. More information at SoCoAdapts.com. But let's start to talk about this program. Tell us a little bit about the origins of it, if you could.
Well, Michelle, I've been working in wildfire risk reduction in Sonoma County for more than 20 years, both on the nonprofit side with local nonprofit Fire Safe Sonoma, mm-hmm. and also working simultaneously with the county and other entities. Up until 2017, it was pretty hard to sell the concept that we had significant risk in Sonoma County.
Right, yeah. And
that also meant that it was very difficult to get grant funds and get projects going because awareness was lacking.
Right.
Well, 2017 changed everything. And all of the projects that I'd been dreaming of the previous 20 years, suddenly there was money available
right.
to get funding, specifically through the FEMA Hazard Mitigation Grant Program. And so with Permit Sonoma, our team started writing grants to help our residents and communities reduce risk.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's so, so vitally important, as we have noticed since 2017, multiple fires that our community has had to go through, but we're getting better. I mean, it feels good to know that we're all getting better about being prepared and reducing risks. So this is really what this program is all about, right? Reducing those risks, not just, you know, knowing what your area is to get out of your neighborhood or having a go bag. This is actually reducing risks on property, right?
This is what you can do to help keep your house from burning down
okay.
long before the fire.
Right.
And to emphasize that process, this is the best time of year to start talking about it.
Right.
Because this is the time to start. Once fire season is starting to ebb down, plenty of time to get stuff done before next summer brings the inevitable risk.
Right, even though CAL FIRE is talking about year-round fire season, which is yikes.
The fire world has changed.
Yeah.
And one of the things that is so important for me to point out to everybody is that the world is fire of change. That means that we, humans who live in the fire environment, we need to learn to adapt to the
right.
new fire regimes and the new fire behavior that we're seeing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really so much of that is about what we do within 100 feet of our homes with the vegetation.
Right.
And more importantly, even what we do with our homes itself to help make them more resilient to the embers and heat of wildfire.
Right.
And there is a tremendous amount we can do. It is not hopeless.
Right.
We are not powerless in the face of wildfire. There's a lot we can do to harden our homes.
Yeah, yeah. That's such a great point. Thank you for bringing that up. And Ivan, working with Wildfire Defense as your business, right, you know about home hardening, right, about embers, the danger of heat. What kinds of things are the dangers of embers, are the dangers of excessive heat?
Well, as Carolyn mentioned, embers and the heat are what are responsible for about 80% of wildfire ignition. So it's often miles ahead of where the nearest flames might be burning. We can get embers drifting through the air, being blown by the wind, and those will fly until they meet structures, trees, vegetation. There's really four different ways that wildfires attack homes. One is embers getting into a building through things like vents or gaps under doors or through garage doors, for example. Also, embers accumulate at the base of any horizontal surface that they meet. So if they're flying around, they hit your siding, they'll drop down to either the deck or the ground, and they'll start to accumulate there. And if there's any kind of receptive fuel, then that's where they'll start to smolder and then potentially put your siding at risk.
Mm-hmm.
The third way is through radiant heat. So just like we're we all enjoy our campfire, and we know that we can't get too close to that. That's the radiant heat that we feel.
Right.
So any outbuildings, structures, sheds, sometimes wood piles, and those can all, when they ignite, generate enough radiant heat that they can crack windows on the house or potentially ignite the siding just by burning.
Wow.
And the last one is direct flame contact. So mm-hmm. I think that's what most of us think of, you know, like a fuse. Fires can ignite a fence out on the edge of the property and then just burn and find their way toward the house. So
right.
Those are really the four things that we look at when we're assessing wildfire risk and helping people understand what they need to do.
Great. So let's talk about this. This program is SoCoAdapts.com, and you can find out about getting assessments. So who should be getting assessments in this program?
So SoCoAdapts, there are about 14 project areas that are across the county from the southeastern Mayacamas all the way out to the north coast. Mm-hmm. Within each of those 14 project areas, people are eligible for both a defensible space assessment mm-hmm. and a structure hardening assessment.
Okay.
We call them assessments, not inspections, because this is not a code compliance project.
Okay.
So we're not doing this to throw violations on
right,
folks.
Right.
We're doing these assessments to educate them. And we're educating them about two things. The assessors who are working out of my office at Fire Prevention are out to do defensible space assessments. So we are using what the local regulations are to define the things that we're looking at and noting on our assessment forms. But our whole focus for this is to help educate folks about, what do I need to do to make my defensible space better? What are the real risks that I have because of vegetation around my home?
Mm-hmm.
Where should I start? The answer, this is a preview of coming attractions. The answer is start at the house and work out.
Gotcha.
Always
okay.
Start closest to the house with the fuels that you're reducing and work outwards to
yeah.
the property line or 100 feet.
Okay.
All of the properties within our project area, including undeveloped parcels, will have already received a defensible space assessment. So you don't have to sign up for that. If you have questions about it, folks should email us at wildfireadapted.org.
Mm-hmm.
And you do have to sign up to receive what is, in my humble opinion, really the best part of this whole program, which are the complete, comprehensive structure assessments that Madronis and Ivan's team are doing. So you already have a defensible space assessment if mm-hmm. you're in the project area. If you want to get that structure hardening assessment, go to SoCoAdapts.com mm-hmm. to sign up and to check if you're eligible if your home is in one of our 14 project areas.
Okay, and then that map to sort of look up your address, is that at SoCoAdapts.com? Linked through there?
There is an eligibility link on SoCoAdapts.com.
Okay.
There's also a map available on the Permit Sonoma website, which is SoCoAdapts.org, just to confuse you.
Okay. So either one you put in, .org, .com, you're going to start to find that great
you
information.
You will start to find what you need on
okay.
either of those websites. Start with .com.
Okay. All right. So how much does it cost to have an assessment?
If you're in the project area, these assessments are free to you today. There
I love
is
it.
No cost.
That's great.
So we're providing this a defensible space assessment, and if you want to take full advantage of the program, so roughly $300 value for the structure assessment that we're offering.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot recommend it hard enough.
Yeah.
We've gotten nothing but enormously complimentary reports back from what folks have learned from that.
Yeah.
There is so much that we don't know about what's going to burn our house down. And people, we tend to focus on the big things. When we think of wildfire, we think, the giant wall flame coming and everything exploding in its path.
Right.
The truth is that that's not really how wildfire loss works. The thing that's most likely to destroy your house is probably the size of a pea, which is then landing on something that is near your house, slowly building to the point that it can ignite your home hours or days or more after the wildfire. And that is where the structure hardening piece that Ivan's team does is so important, is they will help you to see and understand the vulnerable places on the structure itself, which in combination with good defensible space will do enormous good to keep your house from igniting in the next wildland fire.
Right, right. So are there particular structures or ages of homes that might be more vulnerable to risk? Are there certain things that as you're looking as a property owner, homeowner, thinking, wow, you know, I'm really in danger, or I'm pretty on a good level right now? What do you think, Ivan?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up, because we've been out to brand new construction homes and we still find issues. You know,
really?
It's every home's unique and it doesn't necessarily matter what the age is. Some of the things that are, you know, Carleone mentioned, it's not necessarily the big things. Not everybody needs to go out and install a metal roof or go for the big ticket items.
Right.
This can really be approachable. There's plenty of things you can do yourself if you're handy. And it starts with the little things, like where do you have the wood pile or the lumber stored? What kind of mulch do you have right up next to the house? These are things that are easy to do on a weekend project.
Mm-hmm.
Another common one is vents. So the vents in our attic and into our crawl space or foundation areas, they need to be 1/8-inch mesh size or less. A lot of homes have 1/4-inch mesh, and that was great when we were only concerned about critters getting into the attics or into the foundation, and now we're protecting against embers. And so it's a lot of simple things that can be done.
Okay, very good. Well, that's good to hear that some of these things can be done at low cost or with your own sweat equity, right? Your own muscles to get it all done, right?
Oh, yeah.
Very good. Okay, cool. In terms of the areas that were selected, can you tell us why these particular 14 different areas in the county were selected versus other ones? Because, I mean, fire risk really can happen anywhere, right?
I consider all of Sonoma County to be at risk.
Yeah.
There is no question about that. And if I could wave my magic wand, I would get funding for everybody in the county.
Right, yeah.
But because of the nature of grant funding, I had to make limitations. And so what we started with were, okay, where are the areas that are at high risk? We pretty much know where those are, right? Mm-hmm. We've experienced it.
Yeah.
And in some cases, over and over and over again, with multiple fires over 100 years or more.
Yeah.
So we started with using CAL FIRE's fire hazard severity zones and looked for areas of very high or high risk which had nearby dense housing.
Okay.
And so we did a GIS exercise where we cobbled that up.
Mm-hmm.
And then our next step was to call the local fire chief and have a consultation with him about, well, chief, what keeps you up at night? And so we combined that information to sort of select up these project areas. And we also did some consultation with, and let me tell you, when I wrote these grants right after the fire, there weren't nearly as many fire safe councils and COPE groups and other wildfire concerned community groups as there are now.
Right.
But where those existed, we did communicate with them as well.
Okay. All right. Very good. I am talking with Ivan O'Neill. He is the co-founder and CEO of Madronis Wildfire Defense, and Carleone Safford. She is the program manager for Permit Sonoma Fire Prevention Division. So these are free assessments. So what kinds of thing is covered in this defensible space and the home hardening assessments? What is covered?
So in defensible space, as I mentioned before, these are not a code compliance inspection program. What I will say about defensible space is that the closer a fuel, which is a plant or another item, the closer it is to your house, the higher the risk.
Mm-hmm.
And so our assessments are going to focus first on the areas closest to the house. There's an upcoming change in California state law, which should add what we call the non-combustible or zone zero to the requirements for defensible space in state areas.
Oh, wow.
In this non-combustible 5 feet, basically you're wanting to drastically reduce the number of combustible fuels and items. After years of doing assessments, what I've really found with folks is that I'll take them around and they see the plants. Oh, this bush, this is terrible. But they don't see the bag of charcoal and the lighter and the,
the
items mm-hmm. we have, the stuff of daily life. Where are your garbage cans? Do you keep them right up against the house walls, under the eaves? Things like that. So we really have to start thinking about all of those combustible items in the 0 to 5 foot zone.
Yeah.
And definitely get rid of any flammable mulch materials you're using, such as the gorilla hair, highly flammable stuff, or wood chips, and replace that surface area with a non-combustible material of some sort. It could be rock, it could be a variety of things.
Okay.
And then greatly reduce the number and density of plants that are in that area and reduce their size.
Okay.
There are currently a couple of different lists of requirements for the zone zero. The insurance companies are going to be a little more strict in what they will allow in that area, most likely.
Yeah.
They are basically no plants. It looks like the California law will allow some more plants in that area. But we're basically what we're after is the only plants that are in there are healthy, not highly fire-prone species, so nothing that smells strong or has papery bark.
Or that oily sort of leaves, nature. Right, exactly,
so your rosemaries, your certainly your junipers or other plants like that. So you want to get those out from away the house.
Okay.
You don't want plants to be under windows. Windows are vulnerable to heat.
Yeah.
And you don't want any plants in areas where two walls come together to make an inside corner.
Wow. Okay.
That is a really vulnerable place. So we're really wanting to back a lot of the plants out of that 0 to 5. And when our rebate program starts to ramp up in the next year or so, that 0 to 5 foot non-combustible zone is one of the areas that we most want to provide rebates to folks to get done.
Okay.
The reason we're so interested in it is that the science really has this one.
Yeah.
We are showing enormous difference in home ignitions in houses that have that 0 to 5 foot non-combustible zone. It is incredibly healthy for resisting ignition on your structure, especially when combined with the things that Ivan's looking for on the structure itself.
Okay.
So if you have that 0 to 5 and a hardened home, you are doing a lot to keep your house from catching on fire.
Right.
And that's not asking that much, right? We're talking about 5 feet here around your house.
Sure. Right. Yeah.
It's not that hard.
No, it's not. And there, I mean, you can still have these beautiful, you know, rosemary bushes. Just don't have them anywhere near an ignition source, right? You don't put them up against a fence that leads to your house. You don't put them right up in that 10-foot area around your home. You could still have these kinds of things. Maybe not juniper, but, you know, sorry, juniper, we love you, but not here. but really, it is a lot of common sense kinds of things. But it does help to have another eye to go through and do this assessment with you. So as you said, you don't notice you've got your you know, Weber grill and the charcoal right up against the house. Maybe not the best place for it.
Right. So you need to think about that. Yeah. And then the next thing to think about is zone, you know, the first zone, which is from the 5 foot non-combustible zone. So 5 feet to 30 feet in that area. We call that the lean, clean and green zone.
Mm, okay.
So you want to make sure that there's no dead and dying stuff. Nothing that is growing from that area over the roof.
Yes, right.
Make sure you don't have anything over the roof. And you're separating. That's where you can have your beautiful lavender or rosemary garden. But you want it separated so that if that catches on fire, you know, people don't realize in a wildfire, you can have 3.5 times the height of the bush in flame length.
Oh, wow.
So in other words, if you have a 3 foot juniper plant or whatever, that can put up 9 feet worth of flames and heat.
Yikes.
And if it's downwind from the structure, that is a big exposure, right?
Right.
So you want to make sure and break those islands up so that you're not allowing for vegetation to provide a pathway for the fire to use to come from outside of your area, straight across your lawn and up to your house. So we're breaking the vegetation up into vegetation islands and and then reducing fuels in the 30 to 100 foot zone. Just get rid of the dead, bring out your dead.
I love that you just said that. That's hilarious.
All right. So how expensive is it to do some of these projects? Once you've had an assessment, what kinds of costs should people be expecting for these kinds of things?
It can vary wildly depending on the contractor you find, the kind of work you want to do. A single tree can cost thousands of dollars to remove if you have a dead tree. So it's really hard to make an estimate
of
that
cost.
Right. It sort
of depends on what your property is like, right? And what kinds of needs there are.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So it's hard to do, but definitely a $10,000 rebate would help.
Right. So now that you've mentioned a rebate, can we talk a little bit about rebates? I know they're not available right now.
We are ramping up
right.
the rebate program,
okay.
which we expect to begin late next year.
Okay.
And that will be a $10,000 rebate to people in the property area who submit a project in an application. We accept the application and they get the project done. And then we can give them a $10,000 rebate. There's a 25% cost share
for
the property owner. Up to $10,000. So we're working on the details of that project now. That is actually part of the next phase of our grant program.
Okay, great.
But there will be a tremendous amount of information coming out moving forward.
Great.
About exactly what that's going to entail.
Okay, very good. So, but the main thing we want to talk about today and what we want people to be understanding and why it's so important to do these assessments is that you can't qualify for these grants that are coming up later or protect your home if you're not doing these assessments and figuring out where is the biggest danger on my property, right?
Absolutely, because those rebates can apply to both defensible space and, more importantly, in my opinion, to structure hardening. And that is on Ivan's side. And you should have received your defensible space assessment, so you would be eligible for a defensible space grant.
Okay.
But if you want to do a structure hardening grant or a combination structure and defensible space, then you must get this awesome structure hardening assessment from Ivan and his team.
Okay.
So I cannot recommend it highly enough.
Yeah.
I really, really can't. It's an amazing experience. Professional people. Ivan, you take it away.
Well, and I think the important thing here is that when paired with good defensible space, you know, the things that we'll be looking at during a structure hardening assessment include things like the roof, the gutters that can accumulate debris and burn right up next to the roof line. We'll also be looking at siding, windows, doors, garage doors, decks, vents, and the immediate zone zero all the way around that. So it's really a comprehensive, we look at over 40 different types of things that we can find on a structure. And we'll tell you both the things that are looking good that you don't need to worry about, as well as some things that in a prioritized way you can consider tackling first. And as Carolyn mentioned, these are the things that home insurers are now required under California law to offer premium discounts for. So by getting one of these assessments, you'll also find out whether you might qualify for an insurance discount.
Right. And as we're seeing, I know this is probably not the space to talk about it, but we're having trouble with our insurers in California, that they're really hesitant to insure properties just because of the repeated fires that we've had. But doing things like this will only help that situation. I know that our legislators and the insurance companies need to start to work all of this stuff out so we can make sure that people can have homeowners insurance here in California, especially in Sonoma County, where we've been hit so many times. But we're doing really good, knock on wood. These kinds of things, making sure that, you know, your home is safe, that you've got not flammable things in those gutters that could easily catch fire and catch the fire the rest of your house, is the screens that you talked about on, you know, different portions of your home, making sure that's a teeny tiny little mesh screen so that no embers can come rushing into the bottom of your home, set that on fire, or into the attic and set the attic space on fire. Those are things that are easy to do. As you said, you could install smaller screens yourself on all of those, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So these are very, very important things to do. Carolyn, can you tell us a little bit more about where this money is coming from and if in the future it's possible we might have more grants to help us do even more to keep us safe?
Yeah, these the Wildfire Adapted program funding came from FEMA, mm-hmm. Hazard Mitigation Grant funds, which are made available to counties who have been impacted by a disaster.
Okay.
And so these funds became available to us right after 2017 fires. And we have actually three different programs running with hazard mitigation funds right now. We also recently applied for and received the first in the country wildfire award from another federal program called the Building Resilient Infrastructures and Communities Program, or the BRIC program,
okay.
as it's called.
Mm-hmm.
The Wildfire Resilient Sonoma County Project actually adds three more project areas, which are different from the ones in the Wildfire Adapted.
Okay.
And in addition to the things that we do for Wildfire Adapted, the assessments and the rebates, that grant program also has funding in place to start doing fuel breaks in areas abutting community. So that
important.
We hopefully could slow or stop the advance of wildfire into those communities.
Yeah.
So we are adding new communities slowly but surely for these programs, and we do expect to be applying for more grants into the future.
Okay. So keeping that in mind, if I look at this map, if I go to socoadapts.com, socoadapts.org, and I check out the maps of where, you know, these areas are right now that are eligible for the free structure assessments, and I'm not in one of those areas, should I still sign up? Should I still put my email in and say, you know, contact me in the future, I want to know more, in case my community is then included?
Please do.
Okay.
That's what we need to hear.
Yeah. All right.
And that's a great thing to do on socoadapts.org.
Okay. All right. Very good. All right. We are going to go ahead and wrap up the show here. Thank you so much to both of my guests today. Ivan O'Neill is the co-founder and CEO of Madronas Wildfire Defense. Where can people find out more information about you, Ivan? Is the best place to go to socoadapts.com?
SocoAdapts.com, right. Type in your address, see if you're eligible for getting a structure hardening assessment right now.
Mm-hmm.
We'll also identify if you're eligible for an upcoming grant,
okay.
that Carolyn mentioned. And if you're not in either of those areas, you can sign up so that when your home becomes available, we can get in touch with you.
Very good. And also, Carolyn Safford is the Program Manager for Permit Sonoma Fire Prevention Division. Thank you so much for coming in and all the great information.
Thank you for having us. And everybody, have faith.
Yeah.
Together we can do this.
We can do it. This is Sonoma County Focus.